Welcome back to the Hemingway List, the podcast where we do things the Hemingway. I've had a long day, but that's okay because I've got the next 3 days to do nothing. And by nothing, I mean I've got quite a lot of Christmas things to do, but no work. So, bloody excellent. Long day. It was a late start in the winery where I've been working, so I thought I'll go get a few things done in the morning. Went and got a haircut, which was a bloody nightmare because it's Christmas. I'm talking half an hour in the parking lot of the shopping centre, just crawling around looking for a parking spot, waiting, you know, doing that thing where you have to stalk people around the car park to find a spot. Just headache stuff. I already had a headache before I went to work. Got the haircut, went to work, then I went and watched the new Star Wars with my brother and with my dad. It's a bit of a tradition that whenever a new Star Wars comes out, we go and all watch it together. Been doing that since The Phantom Menace, which was really cool. You know, I was 11 or something when that came out, and Dad was really excited because when he was young, he'd watched the original Star Wars trilogy, and so for him it was like, wow, the first Star Wars movie in 20 years or whatever it was. And so we were all very excited, and we've done that every time a new Star Wars came out. Anyway, just watched the new one. I really liked it. It's got a lot of hate online. I won't say anything. I won't spoil anything. But I've been seeing some people with some bad reviews, but I really had a good time watching it. So, I don't know. If that helps you make a decision on whether to watch it or not, I liked it. What else happened today? I had a gay time today. Probably the gayest time a straight man can have. I thought I'd share it with you guys because it was pretty gay. I'm straight. I'm not sexually attracted to men. I'm not romantically attracted to men. But this is what happened to me today. You guys can make your own call about this. So I got my hair cut. And the guy cutting my hair, young dude, probably like 25 or something, I reckon. Not handsome, not unattractive, but not especially handsome. But this is pretty gay. This is about as gay as you can get for a straight guy. He had the best breath I've ever smelled. He leaned in close to me to, you know, to do my hair stuff, whatever he was doing, concentrating. And his breath was, I don't know, it was amazing. I was like, holy shit, this guy's breath smells so good. Which was a bit gay. To the point where, like, I was like, he worked his way around my head and to the back, came back around the other side, and I was like, oh shit, he's gonna breathe on me again, and I'm gonna, like, try not to shiver because of how good this guy's breath smells. Or try not to, like, show any visible sign that his breath smells good. But his breath smells so good. So that happened today. Weird, I know. But it's also the truth. What do you think about that? Does that make me gay? I would not have kissed this man. I don't think I would have enjoyed that, even with his amazing smelling breath. But I certainly enjoyed smelling his breath, so what does that say? What does that say? Who knows? Anyway, I just realized there's an empty beer bottle sitting in front of me, and it made me realize I want a beer. So, talk amongst yourselves. I hope you had a good time just then, contemplating my sexuality. That is a cheap beer. Another question I've got for you guys. Cinema etiquette. We were looking for a car park at the cinema. My brother jumped out of the car at the front and said, I'll grab the tickets, you guys go find the park. Me and Dad went and parked the car. When we went into the cinema, my brother was in the front of the line and he was being served, and we didn't want to like jump into the queue and work our way through the queue to the front and be like, oh, we're with him. We're like, he's getting the tickets, all good. And I was kind of standing to the side thinking, I hope he looks over to me when the person asks if we want any food. But I don't think he knew we were standing to the side. Anyway, he didn't get any food or drinks. Came over with the tickets. And Dad said, did you want food, Andy? And I said, oh, yeah, I might get some popcorn. And my brother said, oh, you should have yelled out. I'm like, oh, no, it's all good. I'll just jump in this queue. It's not too long. Do you guys want anything? Brother, no, all good. No drink, no popcorn. Dad, no drink, no popcorn. Okay, I'll go get some for myself. I queued up, went through the queue, got the popcorn, got the drinks. Went into the cinema, watched the film, enjoyed my popcorn and drink. And at the end, my dad said, you know, I was waiting for that popcorn to come our way. And I said, I did offer. He said, no, he didn't. I said, I did. I offered. I said, do you guys want anything? And you both said no. Anyway, they gave me a bit of flack for that. Just, you know, not actual flack, a little bit of tongue-in-cheek nudging. But they ganged up on me on that. It's like, yeah, we were both waiting for the popcorn to come our way. You just ate the whole thing. What do you guys think? Should I have shared the popcorn? Hot topic, I know. How about we talk about Anna Karenina? By the way, if they have said, can I have some popcorn? I would have said, yeah, have some popcorn. I just didn't think they wanted any. They'd already said they didn't want any, and they didn't ask for any after that, so. Maybe I should have offered. I probably should have offered, but whatever. Anna Karenina, Part 5, Chapter 29. Who is the most likable character in this book for you? I was wondering that because of yesterday. I was talking about just not having a likable character. Not anyone that stands out. And the reunion. What will this mean for Anna / Vronsky / Karenin / Lydia / Serza? The reunion of Anna and the son I am referring to there. Astrologer Plus said, I definitely enjoyed reading Anna's segments the most, probably because the book is named after her, but if we are talking about liking them as a person, as opposed to how interesting their story is, probably Stepan. Jan Brunt said, I also like Stepan the best. I'd probably hate him in real life, but he's a wildly entertaining character in the novel. Norwegian said, I like Stepan and Levin and the peasant family we were introduced to for a couple of reasons. Heyo. Kitty and Serzia. I've liked all the characters at points except Levin's brothers, but as the book goes on, there are many that become less likable, especially Anna and Vronsky. Gwenardo says, I like Stepan too. He is a shit, but he is a likable shit. His chapters are the most entertaining to me because he's a bizarre mix of self-aware and immoral. I'm misreading his justifications for terrible behavior. You know what? I like Stepan too. I do. Jan Brunt said, the way both of his parents resent him in their own way is very sad. Oh, wait. I just read a response to a comment that I haven't read yet. Let me go back a level. Thermos of Beer said, there are likable characters in this book. Sarcasm. I think I'd have to go with Kitty or Dolly. As much as I think that Anna is at fault for her situation that she's in, I think it's cruel to keep a child from their parent. I'm glad Serza got his birthday wish. He's absolutely innocent in all of this and doesn't deserve to be deprived of a relationship with his mum. Jan Brunt said in response, the way both of his parents resent him in their own way is very sad. Yeah, it is very sad. Poor little Serza. I don't know how to say this kid's name. Get an easier name, kid. Maybe then your parents will love you. I think I'd have to go with Kitty or Dolly. Yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of like trying to decide like the best of a bad bunch. I kind of feel like Stepan, yeah, he's entertaining. Levin, yeah, he seems decent, but also, I don't know. I wouldn't say I really like him as a character. Tough book. Maybe I'm just a tough crowd. I am Norwegian said, get well, Ander. The feeling of difficulty swallowing sucks. Ah, yeah, thanks. I mean, I don't... Get well sounds funny because I don't feel sick. I mean, I was bitching about my knee and my ankle, which I suppose I could get well from that. But the swallowing thing, it's just a weird... I don't know what, why. It's just like... it was just kind of pooling up in my throat, saliva, and I was having difficulty swallowing it, getting rid of it. A real weird thing, and I don't know what caused it. I'm glad it's actually gone today, so that's good. I'm Norwegian also said, the relationship between Anna and Vronsky is starting to seem more and more cracked. Hiding the fact that you miss your son because you know that the cold reaction of your significant other will make you dislike him is not exactly healthy. Plus, Vronsky is a father now and he hasn't mentioned it. The reunion went by smoothly and happily. Hopefully, Lydia won't cause a scene when Anna's suddenly there at the birthday party. Gunnardo said, I noticed that too. Anna is so quick to assume that Vronsky won't understand. I wonder how much of a dad he really is. Weren't the sleeping arrangements Vronsky in one room and Anna and the baby in the other? I suppose that might have been normal at the time, but reading it with today's perspective makes him seem pretty uninvolved. Simply Productive said, most likable character? I would still have to say Levin for me. He's a little arrogant, but how correct his worldview is, and worse yet... Oh, sorry, he is a little arrogant about how correct his worldview is, and worse yet, he doesn't respect the intelligence of others around him, but nonetheless, he is kind-hearted and has morals and wants to make the world better for people around him. Reunion, I think it will be fascinating. Are there many people out there, really, who don't want to make the world better for people around them? That's a question that I ask you. I think a lot of people probably are quite misguided in their attempts to do that. But are there really people that just live for themselves? I suppose they probably are. I don't think we're them, though. We're awesome. Anyway, let's read another chapter of the book. Chapter 30. This is chapter 30. What am I doing? Meanwhile, Vasily Lukic, who had not... at first understood who the lady was, having realized from what he heard that she was the mother who had left her husband and whom he, having come to the house only after she had left it, had never seen, hesitated whether to go in or not, or whether to tell Karenin. Having at last concluded that his duty was to get Serza up at the appointed time, and that therefore he need not consider who was sitting there, the boy's mother or anyone else, but that he must do his duty, he dressed, went up to the door, and opened it. But the caresses of the mother and son, the sound of their voices and what they were saying, made him change his mind. He shook his head, sighed, and closed the door again. I will wait another 10 minutes, he said to himself, coughing and wiping away his tears. Meanwhile, among the servants there was great commotion. They all knew that the mistress had come, that Kapitanich had admitted her, and that she was now in the nursery. But the master always went to the nursery before 9, and they all understood that a meeting between him and his wife was inconceivable and must be prevented. Corny, the valet, went down into the hall porter's room to inquire who had let her in, and hearing that it was Kapitanich who had done so, he reprimanded the old man. The hall porter remained obstinately silent, but when the valet said he ought to get the sack, Kapitanich rushed at Corny and, flourishing his hands about before Corny's face, began to speak out. Yes, I dare say you would have not let her in. I have been in service here 10 years and have had nothing but kindness, and you had better go and tell her. You be off, please. You're an artful one, you are. You'd better look after yourself and how to fleece the master of fur coats. Soldier, said Corny contemptuously, and turned to the nurse who had just entered. Now, judge for yourself, Mary Ivanovna, if Efimovna, he said to her, he's let her in without telling anybody, and Alexis Alexandrovich will be ready in a minute and will go to the nursery. Dear, dear, what a business, said the nurse. You must detain him somehow, Corny Vasilich, the master, I mean, and I'll run and get her out of the way. What a business. When the nurse entered and Serza was just telling his mother how he and Nadinka fell down together when ice healing and turned three somersaults, she was listening to the sound of his voice, saw his face and the play of his features, felt his hands, but did not understand what he was saying. She must go away, must leave him, that was all she thought and felt. She heard Vasily Lukic's step as he came up to the door, and coughed, and then the steps of the nurse as he entered. But she sat as if turned to stone, powerless to speak or rise. "Madame, dear," the nurse began. Coming up to Anna and kissing her hands and shoulders. What joy God has sent our little one on his birthday. And you have not changed at all. Oh, nurse dear, I did not know you were in the house, said Anna, rousing herself for a moment. I don't live here. I live with my daughter and have only come to wish him many happy returns, Anna Arkadyevna, dear. Suddenly the nurse burst into tears and again began to kiss Anna's hand. Serza, with bright eyes and beaming smile, holding his mother with one hand and his nurse with the other, jumped with his plump, bare feet onto the carpet. The tenderness of his beloved nurse for his mother sent him into raptures. "Mama, she often comes to see me, and when she comes," he began, but stopped, noticing that his nurse was whispering something in his mother's ear, and that a look of fear and of something like shame that did not at all suit her face appeared there. She came up to him and said, "My darling." She could not say goodbye, but the expression of her face said it, and he understood. "Darling, darling, Kutik," she said, calling him by the pet name she used when he was quite little. "You won't forget me, you..." But he could not say. But he could say no more. How many things she thought of later that she might have said. But now she did not know what to say and could not speak. But Serza understood all she wanted to tell him. He understood that she was unhappy and that she loved him. He had even understood that the nurse had said in a whisper. He had caught the words always before 9 o'clock, and he understood that they referred to his father and that his mother and father must not meet. This he had grasped, but he could not make out why that look of fear and shame appeared on her face. She could not have done wrong, and yet seemed afraid and ashamed of something. He wanted to ask a question which would clear up his doubts, but dared not. He saw that she suffered, and he was sorry for her. He pressed against her in silence, and then whispered, "Don't go, he is not coming yet." His mother moved away from her to see whether he really believed what he was saying, and in the frightened look on his face, she saw not only that he was speaking about his father, but that he was, as it were, asking her what he ought to think of him. "Serza, my darling," she said, "love him. He is better and kinder than I am, and I am to blame toward him. When you are grown up, you will be able to judge." "There is nobody better than you," he cried out in desperation through his tears, and seizing her by her shoulders, he hugged her with all his might, his arms trembling with the effort. "Darling little one," said Anna, and began to cry in the same weak and childlike way as he. At that moment, the door opened and Vasily Lukic entered. Steps were heard approaching the other door, and the nurse said in a frightened whisper, "Coming," and handed Anna her bonnet. Serza sank down on his bed and began to sob, hiding his face in his hands. Anna moved the hands away, kissed him again on his wet face, and went rapidly out. Karenin was advancing toward her. When he saw her, he stopped and bowed his head. Despite what she had just said, that he was better and kinder than she was, after casting him a rapid glance which took in his whole figure to the minutest detail, she was seized by a feeling of loathing and anger toward him and of jealousy for her son. She swiftly let down her veil and with quickened steps almost ran out of the room. She had not had time even to unwrap the toys she had chosen with so much love and sadness the day before, and she took them back with her. Alrighty, there we go, another chapter down. have your say about that chapter over at the subreddit. Thanks for listening. I will see you tomorrow.